Hello and welcome to the Birmingham Unsigned podcast, dedicated to bringing you the best unsigned music from the Birmingham area of the UK. In this podcast, we interview local bands and artists to find out more about them and get a little taste of their music. Birmingham Unsigned is run on a voluntary basis, and all of our content is completely, absolutely free. But it does cost money to have things like a website going and to help promotion. And if you wanted to support us, there are a couple of ways you can do that. I'll mention those ways at the end of the podcast. Welcome to the Birmingham Unsigned podcast, and I'm absolutely chuffed to welcome to the podcast today, Sebastian. How are you doing, mate?
Hello. Yeah, I'm all good, mate. You?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. And Sebastian, I've listened to some of your music, and hopefully some of the listeners have listened to it as well. But for those that haven't heard your music, how would you describe the stuff that you do?
Well, I mean, it's basically funk, but it's got a sort of a retro theme. So I'm a big fan of the 80s in general. So there's a lot of, well, I'd say sort of early to even late 80s kind of vibe to it. So it's dance music. That's kind of my thing. So if you like, you know, stuff like Prince or Bobby Brown, a little bit of Duran Duran in there, you know, that kind of stuff, that's my kind of thing. So I guess that's kind of the vibe I'm going for.
Yeah, I think you capture that vibe really well. And is it just you that does all of the music, or have you got a band that you work with?
No, it is all just me. I have played with bands in the past, but, you know, it's so difficult to find people that that like to play this kind of music and, that are at a, sort of level where they're happy to do it for, effectively no money, because that's obviously the big thing with originals bands. So whilst, as I said, I have played with bands in the past, I just got to a point where I became so frustrated with not being able to find the right musicians that I thought, well, I'm just going to record stuff by myself and see what happens. And over the last couple of years, I've been, been doing that really. And when I play live, I do it by myself as well. So I play with a backing track, and I just play guitar or bass along with it and sing over it. So on the plus side, it's always in time. On the downside, it doesn't leave much room for jamming and that sort of stuff. And, I miss the sort of regular rehearsals and stuff that we used to do with the bands, but at the same time, it makes it a lot easier. Unfortunately, I do have a day job as well, so to fit all that stuff in and write new stuff, it's just a lot easier to do it by myself for now. But it is my hope to eventually form a bit of a band around it, and for the live stuff at least. But everything you hear on the recordings is all me.
Very nice. And being Birmingham Unsigned, I've got to ask the generic question of roughly whereabouts in Birmingham are you?
I'm South Birmingham.
South side, yeah, me too.
Yep.
Are you currently working on anything interesting, or is there anything that you're promoting at the moment that we should know about?
Yeah, well, I recorded a whole album's worth of new music at the start of lockdown, really. I had a few sort of new songs that I was working on. And then, obviously all the corona stuff happened, and I had all this time on my hands. So I thought, I'm going to write a whole album and, bang that out. So that was released in July. So obviously I'm promoting that. Sadly, not really able to gig much at the moment. I am promoting that. And obviously I'm always working on new tunes here and there, I'll plan to release two or three songs for the remainder of this year, I think.
I think that's a good way of doing it. Get some stuff out there for people to listen to, like a bit of a catalogue, and then keep them interested with the odd release here and there. I think that's the way that a lot of people do it now.
Yeah, I think that's it. It was, you know, I guess a bit of a personal pride thing to do a whole album's worth, and obviously, you know, having the time now as well. So yeah, I've actually got CDs printed, you know, of that. Would have been nice to have some vinyls as well, but that's so expensive.
Yeah,
that it would have been really difficult to, you know, to make that an attractive proposition, really, if you look at the cost of.
Mm.
You know, each one, but yeah, now I've got some CDs. So I've, you know, I've designed the album cover and stuff for that myself. I mean, I'm basically working on a zero budget, so
I know exactly.
So, you know, and I'm obviously I'm not the only one, but you know, it's quite satisfying to do all that that stuff by yourself, really. So, yeah, that's kind of the thing at the moment, and yeah. As I said, I'll hopefully bang out a few more tunes, you know, for the remainder of this year, and do a couple of live streams. I did one last Friday. That was the first one I did, and I kind of gave it a bit of an acoustic vibe. So I sort of re-recorded some of the tunes, you know, and sort of, you know, created some sort of, you know, relaxed percussion, a bit of piano, and me sort of playing over a bit my acoustic. And to be fair, that went down quite well, so I'll probably be doing a few of those as well.
Cool. I think it feels like a good time now to introduce people that haven't heard you yet to what you sound like. So what song would you like me to play a little section of first?
Okay, well, let's start with Champagne Freak Show, because it's the first track on the new album.
Cool. Let's have a little listen to Champagne Freak Show. So that was a little section from Champagne Freak Show. And, yeah, you really have got that 80s vibe down, I've got to say. I'm really interested. Coming from a sort of techie background, I'm interested to know how you record. Do you sort of do studio, or do you do home studio?
No, it's all in my own little home studio. So, you know, I've accumulated some, you know, some equipment over the years. So I've got a couple of, you know, keyboards, a couple of guitars, a bass. So, you know, in this particular track, I've used some samples of an 80s drum machine called the Lindrum. And yeah, so that's kind of that Prince and the Revolution sound there. You know, and it sort of instantly gives you that kind of, you know, that kind of era feel, and using the sort of percussion bits. And yeah, so basically what, you know, my sort of, yeah, process is, you know, I come up with, you know, the idea for a track, whether it's a groove or a bass line or some chords or a riff or something. And so I kind of generally flesh it out in my head before I do anything. And then sort of, you know, just compose a, you know, a drum loop and play some bass over it, you know, either on a synthesizer or, in this case, a bass guitar. Obviously a bit of slap bass there for that funk sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just kind of, you know, layer the bits on there and put it together. So, yeah, I'll record everything at home.
Is there anyone else locally doing anything of this kind of stuff? Because it's I was going to say, is there anyone sort of going at the moment that influences you, but I suppose not just locally. Is there anyone going at the moment?
When it comes to sort of, you know, local bands, I mean, obviously Duran Duran are from Birmingham, and I do really like their stuff, although I guess in general I don't take that much in the way of influence from them, apart from the album they did in 86 called Notorious, where they played with Nile Rodgers. So I'm a huge fan of Nile Rodgers as well. And the drummer on that album is a guy called Steve Ferroni. He's an English drummer. I think he's mostly a session musician, but he has played in some bands. But yeah, I tried to sort of, on some of the some of the tracks where I tried to sort of give it a live drum feel. So, you know, not use a sort of drum machine samples, but sort of, you know, have more sort of drum kit sounds. Mm. I've tried to sort of give it that kind of lazy feel that these kind of guys played with. So, yeah, that album in itself is quite a big influence on me. And there's a band called Ekka, E-K-K-A-H. Mm. And pretty sure that both the girls are from Birmingham, even though I've got a feeling they're based in London at the moment, but they kind of do sort of disco-y kind of retro sounding pop, and they're really cool. Other than that, locally, probably not so much.
I think we can, since we've got four tracks of yours to play, I think let's slot another one in here. Should we put a sample of in next?
Okay, well, let's go for Dance Till We Die next.
Fantastic. We'll play a little sample of Dance Till We Die. So that was a little snippet of Dance Till We Die. So, of course, at the moment, nobody's really going out and doing any gigging. But before coronavirus locked us down, were you out doing gigs?
Yes, I was. I started again last year. I actually had a little bit of a break from music for a year or so. Some personal reasons, I guess. And I thought, you know, I want to get back out there again. So I've started doing gigs in, you know, the usual sort of local places. So I think I did a couple last year, and I did about, I think, three this year. And then I had another one planned, and that got cancelled because of Corona. Mm. So that's been rescheduled for February, I think, January or February. That's going to be at the Actress and Bishop. I absolutely love gigging. That's probably my favorite, you know, of doing music. So there's nothing more fun for me than that, really. As soon as it's possible to, you know, get out there again and it's all sort of safe and whatever, then I can't wait to get back on stage, to be honest. So sooner all this stuff blows over, the better. I guess in the meantime I'll just try and do a few more of these live streams.
Now, I always like to talk about challenges, because, of course, any musician, we tend to face challenges in our musical lives. And I always like to see if definitely. I can sort of talk about the challenges and how you've overcome them, because we always it's always nice to hear how other people have overcome their challenges. So in your musical journey, what sort of challenges have you had, and any sort of tips for how to overcome?
I think, you know, one of the first challenges that you're going to face is being frustrated with your own ability. And I think, it comes from a point of wanting to be, you know, the best at what you do, kind of thing. So, my advice to that is keep practicing and keep practicing, and, look on YouTube for some, you know, new techniques or new tips, or, you know, whatever instrument you play. That's a really good way to sort of, you know, get past that sort of thing. I think when it comes to writing stuff, it's more of a mood thing for me, like, because, you know, the kind of music I write isn't generally sort of super loaded with sort of, you know, deep messages. I write the occasional song that has a deeper meaning behind it, but I guess the kind of music I generally like to listen to is, you know, sort of you know, danceable music. So I like to sort of stick with that, you know, feel good kind of thing. And, you know, let's have a dance and let's have some fun and go out, that kind of stuff. So for me to write that, I have to be in a positive frame of mind. And to be fair, even if I'm, you know, writing something that has a sort of a deeper meaning behind it, I find that being in a sort of a miserable state of mind really doesn't do anything for me. I'm sure that many musicians would feel the exact opposite. I mean, you know, some people, you know, I look at Drake or something, as soon as he has a breakup, he releases another album, you know, that kind of thing. But for me, that stuff doesn't work. I've got to be in a positive frame of mind. And to be fair, that, you know, that I can't really say too much about that because it depends on everybody on a personal level, I suppose. I think for me, it's just being in a happy place. But yeah, that kind of depends. And I think for me, the main challenge really is to get people to notice you. You know, because obviously, you know, with you know, social media the way it is now, it's a lot easier to get your stuff out there. But then there's also way more competition. So it's a double-edged sword in that sense. So that can be quite difficult to, you know, to try and grow your following. And I mean, you know, say people that are students might find that a bit easier because they have probably more friends or, you know, a larger social circle. Mm. You know, whereas for me, I have a very small social circle. So it sort of makes it difficult to start out, you know, with that, and then sort of growing it. I guess it depends a little bit on the type of music you make as well. Like, you know, the sort of stuff I do tends to be more popular in America, maybe. Mm. So in the West, it might be, you know, a sort of a gap in the market situation. But on the other hand, it might not work. I'm not really sure. You know, I seem to be getting a lot of positive comments. So, you know, obviously you take that to heart. But I think, you know, marketing yourself online that's just a whole another thing you've got to learn.
Yeah,
you know, all that, you know, promotion and doing your pictures and your videos in certain ways and being on all these platforms and all that sort of stuff. And that's a whole job in itself, to be fair. So I think that's very difficult for me personally. Yeah, I'd say those are probably the things I find the hardest part of being a musician, apart from obviously having the time, you know, if I could do this for a living effectively full time, I would be able to release so much more, you know, video content, even so many more tunes and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, you unfortunately, you've got to make a living as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're sort of stuck with your spare time, as I'm sure you've got the same...
Absolutely.
The same thing going on. Yeah, so, you know, it's always that juggling that spare time and, you know, your family life or whatever you might have, you know. So, those are probably my main thing.
It's a real challenge, isn't it? There's just never enough time in the day to get everything done. And, I mean, like you say, the promotion is a full-time job in itself, really, if you were getting down to it. But
definitely.
Yeah. Well, let's play another bit of a track. So which one should we play a bit
from
next?
Okay, cool. Well, I think seeing as we were just talking about, you know, sort of mindsets and being in a positive state of mind, let's go for Made For Me next, which is a tune I wrote for my girlfriend.
Great. Let's have a little section of Made For Me. So that was a little bit of Made For Me. When you're not being musical, what sort of stuff are you doing? And you don't have to tell me what your job is or anything like that, but what else interests you? What else is it that you do in your life?
Loads of stuff, to be honest. You know, obviously, yeah, music's the main thing, but You know, I'm quite interested in e-commerce stuff at the moment, so that's a little bit of a side hustle there, I guess. But you know, otherwise, I love watching, you know, TV shows and movies. That's a big thing for me. You know, loads of series I enjoy. Like, you know, I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead and stuff, and season 2 of The Boys has just come out on Amazon Prime, you know, stuff like that. So that, you know, and I love eating. you know, I like cooking, eating, going out, you know, you can always find me, well, maybe not quite at this moment in time, but you can always find me in one of the bars usually. So, you know, that's... yeah, I just like to enjoy life, to be fair.
Sounds like a man after my own heart. That's just what I like to hear. So I think we're going to dive straight into the final track that we're going to have a little listen to, which is Love For You. That's the last one that you've sent me. Anything you want to say about it before I pop it on?
Yeah, it's actually a track that I initially wrote, of at least the music part of it, years ago for my old band, and we never decided to use it whilst I was recording the album. So, you know, I'll have a look at some bits and bobs I wrote over the years and see if there's some sort of things I can resurrect. And I thought, hang on, I've got this somewhere. And I actually found it in my old email as roughly recorded MP3. So I kind of worked it out from, you know, what was on there. And it's kind of a bit of a reggae pop summer hit kind of thing I was going for. So it's maybe a little bit on the cheesy side, but I really enjoy it. And I think before I recorded for the album, I played it live once at the last gig I did before lockdown. And everybody really enjoyed it. And I thought, they're either going to like it, they're going to go... But to be fair, it worked really well. So I thought, go on, let's record it. So, you know, I tried to give it a bit of a reggae pop feel, for, you know, a little bit of a different vibe there. But yeah, still kind of 80s, I guess.
Great. Well, let's have a little listen at Love For You. Well, that was a little section of Love For You. So in this last little bit of the podcast, I really want to make sure everyone listening knows how best to find you. So do you send people to any specific places online?
Yeah, well, I've got a website, which is funkylikeseb.com. So, yeah, basically all the links to social media are on there, but generally the social media links are also funkylikeseb, so... Instagram and Facebook and all that sort of stuff. You can find my Spotify and Apple Music links on my website as well. You can buy my CD there. You can even buy t-shirts now. So
side hustle coming into play.
Probably
then.
The main. you got to do it.
That's it. Absolutely. You know? The e-commerce stuff must be quite useful, actually.
Well, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I got interested in it, to be fair. Yeah. it's all to promote the music in the end.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Sebastian, thank you so much for talking to me and letting everyone know.
Thanks for having me. You know.
Oh, an absolute pleasure.
I really appreciate it. You know, it's great to see, you know, platforms, you know, giving, you know, local musicians a chance to you know, to get the stuff heard. So, you know, I can't thank you enough.
Well, that's exactly what we're trying to do. Get the local musicians out there. I figure Birmingham's a big market. If people in Birmingham were listening to more Birmingham music, then there'd be more Birmingham musicians who can actually do it as a job.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing, you know. I mean, it would be great to you know, maybe put some gigs on with some other artists. So, I mean, if there's any more, you know, more sort of funk fans out there, you know, give me a shout. And, you know, if you've got a band or you do stuff by yourself, maybe we can put a show on at some point.
You heard it here, folks. If there's anyone funky out there around the West Midlands, let us know. Brilliant.
Nice.
Well, I look forward to putting this out there and hopefully getting a few more people interested in the stuff that you're doing. And thanks again.
Great stuff. Nice one. Thanks very much, man.
I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that there are some ways that you can support Birmingham Unsigned. Firstly, you could donate money through PayPal by going to our paypal.me link. The link is paypal.me/BrumUnsigned. If you did want to make a more regular donation, we would be very, very grateful. You can do that through our Patreon page. You can access that from patreon.com/BirminghamUnsigned. If you or any band or artist that you know would like to be interviewed on the Birmingham Unsigned podcast, then drop us an email. It's brumunsigned@gmail.com and we'll get something sorted. I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. I look forward to having you here again for the next one. Stay awesome.